På bussen, en helt vanlig torsdag, mottok Tore tilbudet som skulle forandre alt. En e-post, en lenke og en nettside med rabatter på det nye utstyret han egentlig ikke hadde råd til, men hadde så lyst på. Det eneste han rakk å tenke var at dette var nesten litt for godt til å være sant. Og det var det det var.
Over 70% av alle nye nettsider er svindelsider. For sikkerhetens skyld har alle Telenor-kunder sikkerhetsfiltre som blokkerer falske nettsider. Se hvordan du kan bli tryggere på telenor.no/sikkerhet.
I 2011 hadde jeg en radiopause, men jeg tok opp alle intervjuene på band. Jeg heter Helle Stenklau, og for første gang I jernverkehistorien får du høre en prat med Jaguar. I 2011 ble Metal Merchants arrangert for tredje gang. Jeg tok med meg opptakeren og gjorde en del intervju for Eternal Terror, og opptakene ble nøyaktig transkribert og lagt ut som tekst etterpå. Når jeg traff britiske Jaguar, så streiket opptakeren, og vi ble jaget opp og ned på Rockefeller og hadde egentlig ikke noen plass å gjøre intervjuet. Jeg vet ikke hvor mange forsøk vi gjorde før det ble sånn noenlunde ferdig. Du får høre resultatet akkurat sånn som det ble, etter en liten beskjed. For det ikke gratis å lage podcast, og det dessverre ikke noen millionlønninger å spore enda heller. Så hvis du vil støtte jernverket med et par slanter, kan du bidra med et månedlig valgfritt beløp via patreon.com/jernverket, eller send noen kroner via VIPs nummer 567438. All informasjon står nederst i episodebeskrivelser, med en lenke som fører deg rett inn på siden. Tusen takk for alle bidragene, det med på å holde jernverket I livet. Og her kommer Gary Peppard og resten av Jaguar.
From where we left,
yeah,
and then we can take the first questions again in a shorter.
Yes. Do that.
Yeah, I think that's better. I think we have to take the round again.
You're Gary here, yeah, guitarist Gary.
Yeah.
Will drums.
Jamie singer present.
Simon bass player.
Yeah. Before this. Shit thing died. We were talking about your new album, and you were saying that you were doing it the traditional new wave or British heavy metal way.
Yes, of course. Yeah. I mean, we obviously this time was, you know, as Gary stated, you know, was young, foolish, a mistake. Wake Me was a little bit schizophrenic due to I was writing some stuff at the time. I had some melodies, thing, and put it to riffs and the writing. Run Ragged, you know, was okay. We listened to the fan. This is what they want. So we wrote, you know, Run Ragged, which very, you know, what the band achieved at that point. Very, very, you know, proud of it. And the new material, along the same lines, the same, with the same ethics and the same true to form new wave of British heavy metal
stamp.
Yeah.
You are one of many new wave of British heavy metal bands.
The guys that has this message.
Yeah,
we need to
But where are we going to sit?
Dere må sitte der oppe, som jeg sa.
Nei, de senkte oss ned, for at det var stille rom her. Opp der så det jo dritmye
bra. Ja, men det det eneste. Det ingen andre rom her. Der sitter band. Det station som de har.
Så vi må gå opp igjen.
Okay. Det var det jeg sa.
Ja, jeg vet, men jeg ble senkt ned igjen. Jaguar, take 2111.
Hey, this is it. This is how our new album's going. We will get there, don't we?
Yeah. Okay. We were talking about all the new wave or British heavy metal bands that are coming back these days, yes. And you're one of them. You have a pretty long comeback now,
yeah,
really,
yeah.
But what do you think is the reason all these bands reform and fans are coming back to the old wave of heavy metal?
Well, it's different in Europe than it is in the UK.
It is.
Because the market for older, more traditional types of metal styles and bands is far more in demand in Germany, Holland, places in Europe than it is in the UK. And we did do a recent gig in the UK, which actually was pretty good as far as, you know, people turning up and going to gigs. But in the UK, often you find if you're playing something that seems a little bit old-fashioned or dated in any way, they're not interested. And the young kids that have got all the money to go to gigs, they're listening to completely different stuff. For the majority of them, you know, they're listening to R&B and all the crap that's on MTV all the time, and we don't fit into that at all. So it makes more sense for us to come to Europe and do shows where the fans really love it, which obviously is what tonight is all about, you know, than it does to gig in the UK. Although we do some shows there, and, you know, it's more difficult in the UK.
A lot of youngsters are getting back into the old school, though, and listening to the old school, downloading, you know, possibly even borrowed some what's left of the dad's collection. And I think a lot of the sort of new metal or emo metal bands have had influences from the old school, and I think some of them are going back and listening to the old school, you know, because of this nod towards, and they're probably fed up of hiss the verse, scream the chorus, quiet bit, loud bit, quiet bit, loud bit, and I hate my dad. They want to hear some, you know, some good melodies and some good riffs. You know, that could be a reason. It might not be, but, you know.
I mean, as far as older bands reforming goes, I think it doesn't necessarily ring true with Jaguar, because obviously Gary reformed the band quite a while ago now. But I think a lot of bands that were famous in the 80s, or at least achieved some success in the 80s, and then had a long period where the band was split up and they didn't do anything musically or whatever, they're just doing their 9-to-5 jobs, which, as we all know, is pretty dull, it's pretty boring. So maybe, you know, you get to the age of 40, 45, and you think, well, why don't I just put the band back together, or get a band together, you know? It's almost like a midlife crisis sort of scenario.
Yeah,
it
could well be.
Is this true, Gary?
That's what my wife tells me. So it must be true.
I mean, we're a bit different though, aren't we, really? Because, alright, we'll wear jeans and t-shirts and what have you, and, you know, boots on stage, but, you know, we've gigged with bands that, you know, Gary knew from first time rounds, you know, not mentioning any names, but they got, you know, they're sort of 45, 50-year-old guys, and they've got big, sort of...
The bondage
leather,
gear.
Bondage gear on and metal gear on, and do you know what I mean? Their hair's all falling out, and they look like your granddad, except they're all done up in metal gear. Oh, we always tend to think that's a little bit ridiculous for us. I guess I'd feel uncomfortable if the band said, you must have this metal image, you must have a bullet belt, you must have leather trousers, you must have studs all the way up. I'd probably be going, well, I ain't going to wear that.
Yeah.
Well, no, we never have.
And we never have. And sometimes, you know, when we find ourselves backstage at festivals, you know, where there's lots of other bands playing, you know, we sort of sit there going, well, this is great. We're all wearing our sensible coats.
And I nearly get my eyes scratched out by somebody
with nails jutting out everywhere. So we don't follow the image strictly to the letter of the law.
It's how you play. I mean, people want metal.
It's all about
and they
music.
Can dress up in their finery, and they can come and they can be part of the show. If they want to come up on stage and play air guitar, they're more than welcome. You know, because we wouldn't be like tonight here where we are if it wasn't for people paying on a door. And the real show is the time we're on the stage. We don't live a heavy metal lifestyle. As in, you know, my house is not a shrine to Satan. You know, none of our houses are. It's a normal house. But when we, you know, when we play, we like to get out and play, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. It's all about the music.
It is all about the music. And, you know, and if people enjoy it and show their appreciation, we'll travel hundreds of miles, won't we?
Thousands, mate.
Yeah, just to do, you know, just put a show on, basically. Yeah. And that's what it's all
the
about.
Trips are often very long into Europe. This one is an exception, really, because we were flying. We don't normally fly, do we?
I normally drive everybody.
We drive into Europe.
Wow, that's old school.
Yeah. I mean, I spend a lot of hours on the road.
I've got a big black four-wheel drive bus, specially designed to take us anywhere. Snow, ice, if people want to, people are going to be there waiting for a band, we would be there to play. That's, you know, that's the dedication of the thing. It's not, you know, but having said that, you know, obviously it's not a shrine to Satan. We don't advocate devil worship. But yeah, it's what we do, basically, you know. And it's all worthwhile.
Yeah.
You know, see everybody there. You know, and they can wear their studs and their leather jackets, and they can throw their hair around and have a good time. Mm-hmm. And we'll do the same thing. Yeah.
What's your favourite new wave act, beside from yourself?
A favourite new album band, you mean?
Yeah, a new wave of British heavy metal band.
Diamond Head, I'd say. Or Diamond Head and Raven, my two.
And the rest of you?
Ooh, man. Got to give them to Maiden, haven't you?
Well, yeah, you've got to. I almost don't class them. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Lesser than
Diamond Head as well. Yeah. Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, apart from Maiden, shall we say. Yeah. Raven, I've always liked
Raven. I love Maiden. Yeah. I got to admit, Were they classes? Some people argue to toss about it, and they definitely became Def Leppard, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, Def Leppard and Maiden were the first two, but Sound Jeff Barton and Sound wrote about it.
Yeah.
And coined the phrase.
Yeah.
New wave. Yeah.
Gotta be Maiden for me.
But yeah, it depends whether you include Maiden in that or not.
Yeah, of
course. Because Maiden and Saxon, although they're a new album band, they did become successful, and I almost don't class them as that anymore. They've almost transcended that. But
they were.
Mm.
A lot of respect for Iron Maiden.
But apart from Maiden, shall we say, Diamond Head and Raven would be my favourite too.
What do you think about the Metal Merchants Festival? This is a festival that prizes all the old bands. And what do you think about this initiative?
It's good.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know too much about it yet. Obviously, it's our first time here. I mean, I only know really what I've sort of learned off the net, really.
Yeah. And first time in Norway.
Yes, I've never been here before. So it's all totally new, really.
It's good that people do it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this sort of festival, as I'm sure you know, happens all the time in different countries, doesn't it? As you say, old school acts out and so on. But you know, this is it's our first time, so it's all pretty new. Is
it good?
No, I'm more going near. Helt near.
He was
asking for beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just you continue.
What was I saying? I've forgotten.
About all the festivals.
We'll see how we get on tonight. We do festivals similar to this in other European countries.
So if it's along those lines, which it seems to be,
medium-sized
venues with a decent crowd that have obviously come to, watch and listen to metal bands, then it should be great.
Mm.
Yeah.
Når du forestiller deg et innbrudd, så ser du for deg drama.
Se om du finner noen passord.
Kaos. At noen tar på det som ditt, invaderer det du har nærest.
Finn kort informasjon.
Det som bare du og kjæresten din vet om.
Masse private bilder. Nydelig.
Men sannheten at mens et digitalt innbrudd pågår, så merker du ingenting.
For sikkerhetens skyld inkluderer vi sikkerhetstjenester i våre abonnement. Bli tryggere på telenor.no/sikkerhet.
I think I have asked almost all my questions, but should we just shortly touch all the first?
Yeah.
Gary, could you tell me about your forming, 79?
Yeah, 79, the end of 79, early 1980. It was Jaguars put together by myself and the Jeff Cox, a bass player. Because we wanted to play
stuff that we really liked. We were in bands and not really playing stuff that we were really into. So we decided to we'll do it ourselves. You know, start from scratch with a new band and play exactly what we wanted to play, not what anyone else wanted to play. And it grew from that. Really, it grew out of at the time. You know, we were into Judas Priest and UFO and Sabbath and Van Halen and stuff. So we, you know, that's the stuff we love listening to, and we naturally that was what we wanted to play, I guess. Similar rock. And I was also into like punk, Sex Pistols and The Clash. I still do, you know, love all punk as well. So I think there was an element of punk in there too, you know. But yeah, we just liked playing fast. You know, the faster we played, the more we liked it. So that was kind of a happy accident, really. But yeah, because at that time there weren't too many bands playing fast metal. Really, it was, you know, not many. I mean, when we first started, there was us, and Raven, Metallica. They only had a demo tape at that time. They didn't even have an album out. And then there was Venom. It's the Neat Records thing, I suppose, wasn't it, that really kind of started it?
Yeah, because you got a contract with Neat Records, yes, after you had given out the Backstreet Woman,
yes,
single.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I mean, we happened to be doing some gigs in Holland, actually, with Raven, and the guy who owned Neat, Dave Wood, was there with him, with Raven, and of course he saw us. You know, liked it, and you know, and said, "Do you want to do a single? You know, we'll see how it goes." Well, kind of single EP sort of thing. Yeah. So it kind of grew out of that, really. But yes, we were with Neat. But a lot of people now say, you know, Neat were perhaps the start of new wobble music. But yeah.
And then you came in 1983 with your debut album, Power
Yes,
Games.
Yes, yeah.
And this is a great album.
Thank you.
But what was I going to say? How did you come up with this album? How did you, like... I'm falling totally out.
Concept.
Of this.
Whatever. Concept.
Yeah. What's the concept behind this album?
Well, there isn't it. Concept. There's no concept as such. It was just, I guess, a collection of the songs that we had, at that point. We just liked the phrase "Power Games." Although I wasn't very impressed with the cover that Neat actually came up with. It wasn't what we had in mind.
It's one of the worst covers I've seen. Sorry, but
it is bad. You're right. I mean, it's poor. But of course, what happened there was we sent Neat a drawing, if you like, of it. You know, Jeff, who was very good at art, actually did a drawing of the cover as you know it now. We sent to Neat, "That's what we want." And what you see is what they came up with. But they never showed it to me. The first time I saw it was in a record shop. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. So I didn't get a chance to complain.
You didn't endorse
complain.
It, did you, really?
I didn't get a chance to complain about it. It was too late. It was out there. They didn't consult with me.
I think it's like a printed tea towel.
Well, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. It's probably... Yeah, yeah. I mean, when Neat put out the CD of it, they changed it slightly. I think they darkened it digitally, computer enhanced it.
If you've got 3D glasses, it absolutely stands out.
It wasn't what we had in mind.
But earlier today we talked about your change between Power Games,
yes, yeah,
and this time,
yes,
from the year after.
Yeah.
And you were telling me about why you did this change, mm-hmm, and that you regret.
Well, yeah, it was, you know, hindsight is a great thing, obviously, and you know, it was a mistake to do that, clearly. But it, you know, we didn't change for any particular reason, no specific reason, just simply the fact that we were listening to, you know, stuff like U2 and so on, and that kind of crept into our songwriting, and we just considered those songs to be better songs. And and you know, we were very young, and you know, as I mentioned, no one said to us, "Look, guys, I don't think you should do this." You know, no one said, "Don't do it." You know, you idiots. But we didn't. There was no plan. It just happened. Just happened on its own, sort of thing. I wish it hadn't, but it's too late now. But yeah, it just happened because we were young and writing better songs, catchier songs, poppy songs. I'm still proud of the album, but it wasn't a great idea.
But then you split up and you came back again 15 years later, 1998.
Yeah.
And after this, you came with the schizophrenic album Wake Me.
Yes.
You could just about this Wake Me album and Run Ragged. Yeah. So I just can.
Well, as we mentioned earlier on.
What?
As we mentioned earlier on, Wake Me was a mixture of perhaps slight mixture of styles and influences, which, you know, looking back on that, perhaps we shouldn't have done. But you know, we didn't realise what people wanted from us then. Jamie previously mentioned, we learned lessons from that. We took that forward into Run Ragged, which really was. I wish. In a way, Run Ragged had been Wake Me, in terms of our start, our restart.
Not long after we Jagged.
We didn't really know each other very well either.
We didn't know each other. Stuff like the title track, Wake Me, I had the ideas, you know, the lyrics, bit of social commentary, and there was that kind of aggressive, forceful, punky rap element, and then the melodic chorus, which the chorus came first, and a few others. And Jeff had written a few and had his ideas, and we all worked together to put an album together. Like I said, we were all pretty proud of the songs individually, but as a package, it's as you said, and we would agree with you, the schizophrenic way that it goes together. You know, it was, again, going back to this time, really, it was just the wrong thing. We hadn't really, as a reformed band, we hadn't done enough gigs in Europe to realise that the old school metal scene was still thriving, and that's what the Jaguar fan really wanted. That's where that mistake came, but obviously with Run Ragged.
I don't know.
Oh, right, okay, I need to speak to him.
Sorry. But no, that's not Stian. He's the big guy.
Sorry.
But we're soon finished here now. I think we got your new album plans on tape. That was after the accident. So I think we have been through everything. It was just the story of how you got into the band. That's the only thing we have left.
If you want to.
Yeah, because Gary is the only original member.
Stop it. How I ended up here? Well,
he wonders why.
Jeff, original bass player, reformed in '98. He couldn't stay.
He like reformed,
so he left.
Like a scampy tail.
Then Darren came in.
The only Darren serious Chris. Member in the band.
Darren came in through Jamie.
I've known Darren about 15 years.
So he then.
As long as you.
Then took the bass on. Darren left about 5 or 6 years ago now, and the old drummer Nathan got in touch with me. I'd never heard of Nathan. I didn't know him. I didn't know Gary.
Despite the fact he lived around the corner from
him.
We'd never met.
I was advertising online for musicians and bands, struggling a little bit to find what I wanted, and then Nathan got in touch. So we met up at the local pub. Me and Gary realised that we lived about 2 miles away from each other. And they said, all right, well, let's try it. Here's a CD, here's 30 tracks. We're going to Germany in two weeks.
Yeah.
So I went home. Spent 2 weeks, learnt the songs. Then we went, drove to Germany together, and that's when I really got to know the guys. Did the gig, and they said, right, you're in. So I was like, okay then. And it's been that way ever since. Yeah. Will, on the other hand.
Told by fire.
Can we invite Jamie?
Been
in the cover band.
Been in the band about a year, haven't you? Yes, just over a year.
But like I said, I've known him since he was 13.
So me and Jay played a cover band together.
Yeah.
For three or four years, haven't we?
Yeah. And obviously prior to that, I knew Will when he was, you know, like I said, 13, and he'd gone off and he'd done every crap job going to earn some money to buy a decent kit, pay for training. He's been to the States to train, haven't you? Rock camps and stuff like that, played Roger Daltrey, done all sorts of stuff, all, you know, through his own funding. Like I said earlier on, I've got a lot of respect for him. You know, he's to better himself as a drummer and a rock and a metal musician. Gave him a go, and I know him character wise and, you know, conveyed through.
We're a solid unit now, though, aren't we? As far
finally.
As the personalities go,
yeah,
you know,
it's
yeah, we're all very close friends, as well as, you know, sort of band members.
Yeah,
the band is much more social now, I think, especially when I first joined. We do, you know, we see each other more often.
Yeah,
we've got more gigs in the calendar.
Yeah,
you know, year on year seems to be more gigs coming in for us, and you know, the material, the writing of the newer material, seems to be stronger.
Yeah,
you know. It's sticking to the roots, but still has that. It's just something a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah. So we all seem to be working towards the same goal. You know, writing another either Power Games or Run Ragged. We know that this is the direction that we have to go with regards to writing. You know, any other ideas? Fair enough. But with Jaguar, we know what Jaguar is. Jaguar's about, you know.
Hopefully, be the album out this year.
Yeah. Well, I think we just quit it here because now we have talked for almost an hour. So, but I guess this isn't the worst you have seen ever in your 30-year-old career. I guess.
I don't partake in interviews normally. I let Gary do all the talking.
But we do normally interviews. I do, you know, via email these days.
Yeah.
Sometimes phone. Someone will ring me. But I tend to do them simply because I'm, you know, the original member of the band.
Yeah.
They can do it. That's
I like that everyone that many of you were at the interview, because then I get to hear rest of the band.
Yes, exactly. Everyone's got something to say. So.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair, isn't
it? Well, I look at it, you know, what I do is only on the stage. What I say on a tape, what gets written, is not going to change the world. And I'm, you know, might read it in 10 years' time and think, oh, God, I'm talking like an idiot. You know what I mean? So that's why I don't. Really.
It'd be 10 minutes' time, mate. Not.
You're going to tell me that, right? All right.
Thank you very much, and good luck tonight. I'll probably see you around. And I want to take a picture for the web scene, if it's okay.
Yes.
Cross your fingers, please.
Does that take photos as well?
Du har hørt et Jaguar-intervju innspilt i 2011. Like under Vobum anbefaler jeg videre lytting på episoderne med Diamondhead, Satan og Saxon. Neste vekka får du en eksklusiv prat med et band som ikke lenger finnes, Merciless fra Sverige.
Vi skulle ikke haft kultstatus eller den statusen vi har om vi hadde gjort som en Tomb og dem. Altså at kanskje det mer hadde vært en... ett seriöst band som det gick bra för. Nu är det ju nästan lite Anvil-grej liksom.
Abonnera på Järnverket podcast via podcast-app eller gå in på järnverket.com. Hvis du vill bidra med lite peng för att jag ska kunna fortsätta, kan du ge stötte via Patreon eller Vips. Det är också kul om du slänger in en god anmälelse av podden där du lyssnar, för du måste sprida det glada budskapet, vet du. Og husk på å følge Jernverket på Instagram og Facebook, og til og med YouTube for konkurranser, diskusjoner og musikalske tips. Helle Stenkløv, det er meg. Jeg gir deg et nytt eller gammelt hardrock-intervju hver fredag. Vi høres!
På bussen, en helt vanlig torsdag, mottok Tore tilbudet som skulle forandre alt. En e-post, en lenke og en nettside med rabatter på det nye utstyret han egentlig ikke hadde råd til, men hadde så lyst på. Det eneste han rakk å tenke var at dette var nesten litt for godt til å være sant. Og det var det det var.
Over 70% av alle nye nettsider svindelsider. For sikkerhetens skyld har alle Telenor-kunder sikkerhetsfiltre som blokkerer falske nettsider. Se hvordan du kan bli tryggere på telenor.no/sikkerhet.